Okay, I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Okay, so last time I started talking about something called communications theory, which I had done an article on. And for those that might not have listened to the last podcast, although go listen to it, this is part two. I was talking about what I had learned in school. I went to communication school, to be accurate, Boston University's College of Communication School. And what I realized is what I learned about communications has lots of applications toward game design. And so I'm talking about sort of what I learned, this one particular theory I learned, and then I'm talking about how it affects game design and other aspects of media and such. Okay, when last we left, there are three major things that communications theory says that you need for your audience to make them happy, essentially. So one is comfort, and I talked a lot about that last week. The one thing I did forget last week, let me quickly sum this up, is I talked a lot about individual game design, but I didn't talk about sets of making magic sets and being that, hey, this is about making magic sets. When we talk about comfort, I forgot to get this in before I get to the next part, is when you're making a set, one of the things that people think a lot about is, and we'll get today to surprise, is the new thing. But and another very important part of a magic set is if the magic set doesn't feel enough like magic, the audience will reject it. You know, if we made a set where everything's different and people just go, well, I can't connect to this, it's too different, it would be a problem. Now, people like new things, I'm going to get to surprise in a second, but it's important when designing a magic set that you have enough comfort. And what that comfort means is enough familiarity. Now, luckily, if you understand how magic is designed, the crux of each magic set is very similar. There is a formula, if you will, to how magic sets are put together. Now, there's room for variance, but the core essence, you know, common green will have a giant growth spell. Common red will have a bolt of some kind. Common blue will have a counter spell. There's just things that we have, and certain colors do certain things, and that's true. You know, there's constants. The color philosophy is a constant. The percentage of creatures is roughly a constant. You know, there's a lot of things we do that, even though there's differences, there's lots of similarities. And that's really important, because when people come to your game, especially come back to your game, they want to recognize it as the game they love. Yes, they want to see new things, but they also want to see old things. But that's a segue into new things. Okay, so last time I talked about, I talked about comfort. Next, I'm going to talk about surprise. So these two things kind of sound contradictory, don't they? Humans, they fear change, and they really like things they know and are comfortable to them. Also, humans like surprise! Wait a minute! Humans, fickle humans. So, let me explain this, because this concept is sometimes confusing people in a vacuum. But luckily, I can explain it to you. What humans like is, once there is a level of comfort, once they're in an area where they feel safe, then they like an element of surprise. So what that means is, for example, I've been using a bunch of different examples here to talk about this. So I used movies last time to talk about, or stories, I mean, not particularly movies, but stories in general. And Act 1, I said, is about comfort. Act 1 is about, let's get you familiar with the people and the place of the movie or of the story. And the reason for that is, You want the audience to bond with the character and with the situation. And so the first act is mostly about getting you to go, hey, this person in some ways is like me. I understand what they're going through. Wow, I can relate. And then Act 2 is where the surprise comes in. Act 2 is where something happens that doesn't happen to you. You know, so Act 1 is all about, hey, meet this guy. He's kind of like you. And then Act 2 is, watch something happen to him that'll never happen to you. And so once you create a level of comfort, then surprise is something very positive. So why? Why is surprise positive? To the best of my ability, here's my theory, what I think is going on. Humans have curiosity. Why? I explained last time that, like, you know, built into our genes is this desire to, like, clutch to the known to make sure we stay safe. So if that's the case, why do humans have curiosity? And the answer is that there's different parts of the body doing different things. One part of your body is just part of your brain, the reptilian part, I guess, if you will, is just trying to keep you alive. It's just trying to keep you safe. It's like, where's food? Where's danger? It's just trying to keep, Another part of your brain, a little more advanced part of your brain, is like, I need to learn things. Knowledge is important. You know, how do I do what I need to do? I need to learn. And so part of your brain is very, very geared toward learning. I talked last time about how pattern recognition is part of your brain's, a tool of your brain to learn. So another thing that's, comes in pre-built into the human brain, to use my computer metaphor, is curiosity. And the reason of curiosity is humans naturally have this quality to want to understand things they don't understand, which forces them to kind of leave their comfort zone. And the reason that is important is if you study learning, one of the things about the human brain is that the human brain, essentially you create pathways. Every time you use your brain, you create neural pathways. And the idea is the human brain is constantly evolving and changing, and every time you learn something, you're affecting your brain and changing your brain. Now, when you're real little, when you're young, your brain is even more, has more placidity than it will later. But even throughout your life, even later in life, your brain still has the ability to change. And it's interesting, because I had a real talk, I had to talk to a neurologist one day, just about somebody I'd met on a plane, and we got to talking about our careers, and I talked a little bit about game design. And what he said that he loves as a neurologist is that, like, scientists understand so much, doctors understand so much about the human body, but that the brain is like, not that they don't understand some stuff about it, they do, but that it is this really, in some level, still a mystery. There's so many things the brain does that they're still just trying to understand, because the brain is this amazing thing that just, you know, and one of the things that's interesting is each person's brain is unique, and as you get experiences, your brain does different things. But one of the things is the brain craves new experiences, because new experiences create new neural pathways. And so one of the things they talk about, like, when you have a kid, or how exposing them to a lot of different things is good, you know, letting them try out different things, because you want the brain to sort of have the opportunity to test out different areas. And curiosity is kind of the brain going, give me more stuff, give me more stuff, I need more stuff. That is the brain kind of seeking out more information. Now, another part of the brain, you know, which is a different part of the brain, is definitely going, be careful, be careful, be careful. But this part of the brain is like, no, 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 learn, I want to learn, show me new things. And so what the way the compromise the brain came to is one part of the brain goes, that's dangerous, and the other brain goes, I need to learn. So what they come to grips with is the brain says, okay, okay, okay. You know, as long as something is deemed safe, you know, then can we explore? And the brain goes, okay, okay, okay. So humans are happiest when they're in an area that they have some understanding of and some sense of safety. Now, there are obviously people who push to the danger edge, and there's a lot of risk-taking that goes on in humanity. But we're talking about the crux of humanity. They're most comfortable learning in an environment which is comfortable. So, for example, in media, let's take the website. So we want to create a structure to create comfort. How do we do that? We create daily content. Every day you come, there is Magic Arcana, there's Card of the Day, there's certain things, you know, deck lists, and there's things there every day. And then we have a weekly thing. There's columns. Every Monday is my column. There's people that show up at the exact same time every week. So we create a comfort, a pattern for you. If you show up in any one day, you know exactly what to expect. You know the columns that'll be there. You know the daily content that's going to be there. But we have feature articles. Sometimes we have articles that just go up on a random day. We don't tell you when they're going up. They just go up. So why do we do that? And the reason we do that is we want an element of surprise. Because if you know exactly what's going to be there every day, it can get a little more routine, you know. And it's comfortable, and people like the routine. But if you just throw a little bit of surprise in there, it makes people even more eager to come. Because not only will they get the things they already know and love, but maybe there'll be a little treat for them. Maybe there'll be a little surprise. And the way the human brain works is that you do not need to give it a surprise all the time. You need to give it a surprise some of the time. They've done a lot of testing. So, for example, This is a classic science experiment with monkeys, I think. I think it's a monkey. It's some kind of animal. So the idea is, or maybe it was guinea pigs. Anyway, some kind of animal. What they did is they had a tube where if you pushed a button, food would come out of the tube. So you push the button, food pellet comes out, and you can eat the food pellet. And they tried two experiments. Experiment number one, food pellet came every time. Experiment number two, food pellet came some of the time. And what they found was if the food comes every time, then they grow lackadaisical. It's always there. The food is there. They know it. And so they kind of only press the button when they need the food. But if the food comes some of the time, they push the button more often. And from a media standpoint, you kind of want your media people pushing the button. You want them checking in, you know. And so one of the fun things about having some variety is it makes people check in. Okay, now let's switch goals and go back to the storytelling. So in storytelling, the reason that you want surprise is part of going to a movie is I sit down, I'm in a comfort zone because I'm in a movie. I understand that nothing in the movie is honestly going, I mean, it's going to emotionally affect me, but it is not going to physically affect me. So for example, if I go to a horror film, well, yes, I open myself up to saying scary things are going to happen, but it's in a very safe way. Nothing really is going to happen to me. I mean, I might get scared, but it's scared in a fun way where there's no actual threat, you know, where if you were, it'd be a lot worse to go, hey, why don't you go out in the dark and maybe something will happen. Like, that's really scary because you don't understand the comfort. But here, look, I'm in a dark theater and I'm in my chair. Nothing's going to come through the screen at me. You know, it's much safer. And once you have the confines of storytelling, that's also comfortable. Okay, something's going to happen, and it is fun. The thing about it is once you feel safe, humans love surprise. It is a lot of fun. Surprise is fun. So in magic sets, basically what we do is we say, okay, we create a layer of comfort for you, okay? So, okay, you know, the color wheel it has a very consistency, and the percentage of creatures, and we do a lot of things, and certain types of spells, and there's just certain things that always happen that, you know, any magic that you play has a certain basics you understand. But what makes magic fun is, on top of that known quality, it's magic, we throw curveballs at you. We do different things. You know, you come to Zendikar, and all of a sudden, land means something that it doesn't normally mean. Drawing land late game, or sometimes you want to save land. You don't just want to play land. Don't be wasteful. Hold on to your land and play it carefully, and, you know, that a land drop means something. You know, and you get to Scars of Mirrodin, and all of a sudden, you know, infect exists, and, like, you know, you're making sacrifices that you don't normally make. Like, a 1/1 creature comes at you. Does it have an infect? I might want to block that thing. I might be a 20 life. I'm still scared of it, you know. You get to Innistrad, and Innistrad, you know, there's tribal components or death matters. You know, Morbid said, hey, my opponent's attacking. Maybe he wants me to block and kill the thing. Maybe I shouldn't kill it, you know. And that each of these environments, different things happen. You know, Return to Ravnica is all about the guilds and the colors and thinking about in terms of the colors and how you play things. And each of those environments is different. Magic is magic. And Zendikar and Scars of Mirrodin and Innistrad and Return to Ravnica, that's all magic. And there's still a giant growth, and the colors still have, you know, everything is true about the core basis of magic, yet each one, there are things that are different, that you have to think about it in a different way. And that is where the surprise to magic adds in the value. Okay, so, now let me walk through sort of good surprise and bad surprise, okay? Because surprise isn't necessarily, any surprise isn't good. I don't want you to walk away going, well, once they're comfortable, you can do whatever you want. So, the important thing about the surprise is there's two different types of surprise. One surprise is where, well, I guess you're going to have two bad outcomes, but that's just who likes two bad outcomes. So let's talk about the other one, which is good outcome, bad outcome, and good outcome, different good outcome. So in the first, good outcome, bad outcome, the idea is sometimes I get something good and sometimes I get something bad. That is a high variance, and there's certain style of people that enjoy that. There are definitely Timmies who get a kick out of it, who like, woohoo, I'm rolling the dice, you know. And there are people that enjoy that kind of risk factor, you know, within confines of, you know, comfort. But not a lot of people, that is, you have to use that kind of surprise much more carefully, because a lot of people don't like that. It creates anxiety in them, because I like the good thing, I don't like the bad thing. And to be honest, the worse the bad thing is, the more anxiety you create. An example I gave in my article, which is, so let's say you're going to flip a coin, and on heads, I give you $15. And on tails, I'll punch you in the face. Well, that's, I don't want to get punched in the face, you know. Hey, $15 sounds like a lot of fun, you know. But then you go, oh, well, is the chance to get $15 worth a punch in the face? No, at some point, I'm giving you enough. Let's say, you know, you get $1,000. Maybe you go, well, 50-50 for $1,000? Okay, I guess I'm going to be punched in the face once or twice for those odds, you know. Now, the example of good, now, usually in good, there's a variance. It could be two equally good things, but different. Or it could be like, hey, heads you get $10, and tails you get $5. Now, in that version, I want heads over tails. There's a little bit of anxiety in that there's something I want. But if you said to me, hey, do you want to flip a coin? Heads you get $10, and tails you get $5? I'm a yes siree, Bob. Because nothing's going wrong there. Because the worst case scenario is I get $5. Hey, I didn't have $5. That's good. You know, hey, best case scenario, I get $10. But the anxiety is low, because how bad can it go? You know, the worst case scenario is not bad. And the best case scenario is great. You know, assuming getting $10 is great. I'll say it's great. So when you are using your surprise, be careful in how you surprise them. So first off, one of the surprises has to do with variance. In general, people do not like having to worry about bad outcome. So you have to be very careful when you use that. Now, in a game, and games are different than media, in a game, people are more willing to take a bad outcome, because the nature of games is overcoming outcome.